Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhyalila, text 131. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ye Prasada Murari Guptera Prabhukare Tahai Vashe Rama Aja Ananta Shankare. The mercy that the Lord bestowed on Murari Gupta is desired by Lakshmi, Brahma, Ananta, and Shankara. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. Actually, 2 days ago was the first time that I got into a car in 3 months. And I just went around the block to Krishna Sharma. I told him that's a nice person. He has his Radha Krishna deities. And we did some kirtan. And then as things are gradually opening up and we kind of take a reset and think about what we're doing and how best to proceed, because this is such an incredible facility. You know, I mean, if I would be able to speak to everyone really and see them, et cetera, it would be almost like once a month, a few times a year. Now I have that opportunity 3 or 4 times a year. So it kind of minimizes the need in one sense for the personal sangha, at least in my mind, you know, because this is the main thing. Well, it's not my ultimate conclusion, but I told you many, many times, I think that bhakti moves by sadhu sangha. It's the... Someone just got on that needs to mute their phone. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's really what the heart of bhakti is. That's why that verse in the Upadeshamrita is so important. Tadati pritagrinati guyam ajachi prichati bhunkte bhojyate chaiva. Because these relations, these normal relations, which are the foundation of any common community or interest, Prabhupada often mentioned that people want to be expert in business, they may be businessmen, etc. But in bhakti, it's very special because they create a conduit of heart, giving gifts, accepting gifts, inquiring, learning, teaching, giving prasad, accepting prasad. It creates a conduit of hearts. And that's how we advance. Especially, it's recommended first class sadhu sangha, And the three qualities that are mentioned are more advanced, but that's not sufficient. Svajatiya, like-minded, speaks your language. And sneha, but we feel some relationship. And then the maximum effect is there. Look at, you know, we're reading the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Look what happened to Lord Chaitanya. He'd be completely transformed once with a commitment, he opened his heart fully to Ishvara Puri. Advancement in spiritual life is often called, the Sanskrit term is Vishuddha Sattvam Vasudeva Shabditam. Vishuddha Sattvam, pure goodness. And pure goodness means only the desire to serve without any personal preference, just the desire to serve. And that's what bhakti is. We do so many things that we like in Krishna consciousness, and they're completely spiritual because we surrender to Guru and Krishna. And like Arjuna, he was a fighter. He said, okay, now you go fight. So it becomes completely spiritual. But the advanced stage is when we like the act of serving more than we like the thing that we're doing. We may still like the thing we're doing, but that to actually a liking for the soul, that mood of service. So Vishuddha Sattvam, that's called Vishuddha, very pure goodness. In a recent Monday morning greetings, I discussed about Narada Muni, the material taint, that he had, that he was attached to goodness. He was attached to the Himalayas. And, you know, bhakti is attached to Krishna's service. I know, even right now, this is kind of personal. I feel my service is based around my personal spiritual practices of developing a relationship with the holy name. I feel that that's what Prabhupada wants me to do, and I feel that's the way I can contribute the most to others, by honing my own consciousness. And I'm pretty fixed in it. I'm convinced this is what I'm doing. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, this becomes my priority. But at the same time, it won't be Vishuddha Sattvam, pure goodness, unless my heart is open. Whatever you want, Krishna, I will do. Wow, what a demand. We just have to have confidence in Guru and Krishna that we'll be able to keep the things that we need to keep the body and soul together. But that's not our consideration. Our consideration is, what you want, I will do. And keeping that heart open, that's such a beautiful thing, because it means there's not a tinge of selfishness in that person's heart. So Vishuddha Sattvam Vasudeva Shabditam, it's called Vasudeva. That consciousness is called Vasudeva. When you get the Vishuddha Sattvam, what's the complete spiritual energy? The complete spiritual energy is Krishna's internal potency, which just radiates with a desire to give oneself fully, until you come to the level of the gopis. And it's Ashlishya va padaratam panastumam madarshanam mamahatam karotu va. You may make me brokenhearted by not appearing before. You may crush me with your embrace, but you're my Lord, birth after birth. That kind of focus. But anyway, why is it called Vasudeva Shabditam. It's called Vasudeva Shabditam because that mood was the consciousness in which Krishna appeared in his mind and was transferred from his mind to the womb of Devaki. So Krishna appeared in a particular consciousness. He appeared in a particular consciousness. Now, today I'm going to try to, you know, continue what I'm doing, but I also have like a plan B, because for various reasons, I wasn't able to get my sleep last night. And therefore, my sadhana wasn't to the level that I have, nor was my preparation for the class. Because the usual thing is, I'm just so peaceful in the morning, and I have an hour or something, and I'm just looking at the verse and just lying and going over what was there before. So I'll speak a little bit, but I also want to speak about another pastime that's very, very dear to me, which is called the Chiradahi Mahotsava, the Flat Rice and Yogurt Festival. So I'm going to save a little time for that too, especially if, because of the preparation wasn't to the extent I did, that it doesn't, I don't reach the level of unconscious competence. I told you that's my goal in speaking. But it takes a certain confidence and frame of reference. Yeah, I want to speak in a contiguous, logical way. So let's see what we can do today. You know, we're getting to see what is that Vishuddha Sattvam Vasudeva Shabditam. What is that kind of consciousness of love? Complete love, that your desire is singularly the service and happiness of your beloved of God. And when that kind of consciousness enters into the heart, I describe that it's accompanied by two other desires. I want to be with that person that I love. I love that person. I want to be with that person. It's a natural feeling. And I want to feel a relationship with that person. So anyway, we see this Murari Gupta and how he assisted in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and how he can, and the interesting thing is, the spiritual realm is beyond time and space. It has to be beyond time and space as we know it. Otherwise, there's something greater than God, which is time and space. For us, time, I am the destroyer of all worlds, and I've come to engage all people. That's from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna manifests in terms of kala or time to create circumstances for our enlightenment, our purification, enlightenment. So Krishna is kala. So kala does not control Krishna. So in the spiritual world, it's another dimension, reasonably. It's not reasonably to judge the spiritual world or the absolute reality by the way God's laws control the world, because they're God's laws. It's inconceivable. For us, time is absolute, and it is because it's Krishna. But it's not absolute for Krishna, because it's his energy. And Krishna's energies are under Krishna's control. So those who enter into that realm, they can have simultaneously different identities to serve Krishna, because the goal is to serve Krishna. And they can transform to serve Krishna. Even I love the story of Uddhava. Uddhava is Parishad. It's a topmost servant, the servant who is the confidant, the servant who is the very intimate confidant. And he's, that means he's almost intimate like a friend. He's almost intimate like a friend of Krishna. So outside of Vrindavan, there's no one higher than Uddhava. And he has the same features, the same color. What does disciple mean? One who takes the mood of the guru. But with that mood can come different forms, actually, to serve. You may want to serve in Gaur Leela. You may want to serve in Krishna Leela. And you have different forms. So why not? What would stop God from giving one the facility to perfect one's service? Why would it be constricted to our laws? So similarly, Hanuman is the incarnation of service. He's mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's 9 devotional items: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Apanivedam. And they each have exemplars, the person. And Hanuman is the exemplar for Dasyam, not just serving. But because service is in all relationships, but serving in the mood that I am the attendant, I am the servant. And therefore he manifests in different leelas with ecstasy. So we saw he's such a great devotee that when Lord Chaitanya, who is not avatar means one who descends, he is avatari, he is the source of all avatars. When he manifests as Narayan, Vishnu, the creator, then Hanuman, and he's in that mood, Lord Chaitanya, and then Murari manifests as Garuda. And those who are surrendered, Krishna's given them the vision to see that. They're in ecstasy as Lord Chaitanya is running around the courtyard and swaying back and forth. Anyway, we could go on all the pastimes but the last pastime that we saw was very interesting, is that he didn't want to live in this world without Lord Chaitanya. It's a mood. He didn't want to live. So he was actually planning suicide, that I will go first. Getting carried away with emotions, because that's not so wise. We know from the Shastra that what happens when someone commits suicide, that's why there are ghosts. There are ghosts. When someone commits suicide, he annihilates the body, but not his subtle body, and his subtle body has to live out the karma that was designated in this life, but he doesn't have a gross body to do it. And that's why ghosts try to possess somebody, because they need a physical vehicle to pursue their desires. So it's not wise, but somehow or other, in intense emotion, because this is this Vishuddha Sattva. This is the highest emotion of love for God. And one's consciousness is just churning in different emotions. But Lord Chaitanya in his heart understood, Sarvasya Chaham Hirisani Vishto Matasmita. I am situated in everyone's heart. So he understood, and he comes to Murari. and says, will you do what I say? Because that's the basic premise of devotion. Will you do what I say? Mari said, yes. He said, well, where is that machete? And the Lord Chaitanya even finds where it's hidden. And said, how can you doubt this, Murari, that I know everything? And if you leave, how will I enjoy pastime? I love, bhakti is so personal. It's the ultimate reality. And doesn't it make so much sense that the ultimate reality is, we discussed this before, it's the satisfaction of heart of having a perfect object of love in the relationship that you want to serve. There's a verse in the second canto that describes why Krishna is the ultimate object of love. He's eternal and he's real. There's other reasons also. So again, you know, the same thing happens. Murari falls to the ground and washes the Lord's feet with tears of love, and he cries, and he's holding onto those feet, and Lord Chaitanya picks him up and embraces him. And then we're up to today's verse, where this kind of mercy, intimate love, is not achieved, bestowed on the devatas, the demigods, even Lakshmi, Brahma, Ananta, and Shankara. There's something very, very forceful about this love. It's very spontaneous. In fact, the reason for Chaitanya appearing is that God wants to experience this type of love, intimate love. Reverential love, of course, Murari has reverential love to some extent, but it's more spontaneous. Reverential love, where God manifests his immanence, that type of love, where God manifests as the creator of everything, there's naturally some duty or obligation. Once you deal with a superior, there are rules. You must have the most loving father in the world, but there are rules. There are rules, and there's obligation or duty. And therefore there's fear. It's part of that bhav, it can be very pure, but it's not as forceful when love is mixed with obligation or duty as when it's spontaneous. That's why Krishna is Akhila Rasa Mrita Vritti, the embodiment of all love, the highest personality of Godhead, because he doesn't appear in majesty. And therefore the love is unimpeded by obligation, duty, or fear. And Krishna, when he appears as Chaitanya, he's saying, I want to experience that love, not made feeble by a sense of my opulence or power. And anyway, there's something very intimate going on here. It's just not just reverential service. This is intimate service. It's not just om, param, param. It's intimate service. And that's not bestowed easily. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj wants to explain this a little bit, and we'll go for a few verses. I'll go half the class. Then I really want to tell this Leela of the Panihati Chitardahi Mahotsava. And he says these demigods are not separate from Lord Chaitanya, because the understanding is Lord Chaitanya is also Swayam Bhagavan, the full manifestation of God. The Vedas declare that they are non-different from Krishna. And I mentioned, we discussed this last week, that It's an offense to the holy name to think that the demigods are independent or equal. Independent or equal. Equal means that you worship the demigods as equal to Krishna. That's an offense to the holy name. They're demigods, not fully. And independent is when you don't respect them as devotees of God. And because perhaps in India there's a certain sense of competition of, you know, who's devata, is that you may develop some envy. That's an offense against the holy name. Like Lord Gaurachandra sustains the universe in his form as Sesha, and the same Lord creates in his form as forehead Brahma. So these particular demigods, they're not actually demigods, they're manifestations of Krishna. In the form of the three-eyed Shiva, Gaurachandra annihilates, he personally offers prayers to himself. All these demigods are not different or separate from Lord Chaitanya, for they serve as lotus feet. I am inspired to tell this other pastime. Now, you know, I see most of you people are fairly new to Krishna consciousness, but I've been hitting the pavement, that's an English phrase, in New York, preaching for, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And after Prabhupada left, it was a tremendous, tremendous struggle. If one Westerner came into the Brooklyn Temple, you'd be in a state of ecstasy. And who knows what type of person he would be. So I was always trying to preach, etc. And then at a particular time, it almost became so sad that there was nothing going on. So I decided, and my circumstances are always unique, I decided to make my own festival. And I had to pick a particular festival, and I was really attracted to this Chiradahi Mahotsav, which I'll tell. And Madan Mohan, my disciple Madan Mohan, his father had an estate in Millbrook. And that was his father's like devotion, this estate. It had a beautiful river, a beautiful pond, stone steps, and a Gornitai temple. His sister actually has that. So we decided to have it up there. And it was so successful, the festival, that it was never advertised, only by invitation only. And we could have about 200 people. And even one year at the same festival, we had Radhanath Swami, Sachinandana Swami, Indrajumna Swami, Varsana Maharaj, Bibi Govinda. I didn't even know all the senior devotees would come to this festival. And we would make this flat rice feast. Mediterranean flat rice. And anyway, so let me just tell kind of the story here. And the story begins, it's interesting, the story begins at the end. Now, it's very important for a story to begin at the end. And I'll tell you why, this kind of story. Because sadhana or practice is dependent on sadhya or goal. Your practice is engaging yourself for a goal, and the goal is bhava. The goal is overwhelming love in the heart. That's the very definition of sadhana bhakti, that you engage your senses for the goal. And what's the goal? The goal is this pure love. And when that pure love thickens to the highest degree, then it's called prema. The difference between prema and bhava, they're the same thing. But Baba is lax, prema is dense, just as the sun rays and the sun planet. It's the same exact thing, but the sun planet is condensed, and that's prema. And who is the Prayojana Acharya, the teacher to show us and exemplify what is a life and what is a practice of one who is aspiring for and achieving this goal of life, prema pumartha mahan, the greatest value, the greatest goal, prema pumartha mahan, is this I just had such a nice realization I'm going to share you. Somehow the problem is, I don't know how it happened, but some muscles in my body became extremely sore. It may have been by exercise, I don't know, but extremely sore. I mean, to the extent, you know, that practically I couldn't move in bed, I couldn't sleep, because there was no position where I moved or where it wasn't painful. So, and even I kind of sauntered over to this chair. I'm kind of sitting, but you know, the muscles are very, very sore. Really. But I noticed this is the beauty of bhakti. You know, the last, I don't know, 24 hours, I've had this kind of condition, even up to now. And then, but sitting down here, and being absorbed in Hari Katha, I completely forgot the body. That was my realization. Hey, where's that body that was giving me all these pains? Complete absorption, which shows you that the bodily conception is a mental conception. It's not you. You feel it because you think of it. You feel it because you're absorbed in it. You feel it because you have a desire to use it to be the enjoyer and controller. Anyway, this story begins at the end, and the end is Lord Chaitanya is in the Gambira. It's a little room that he spent the last 18 years of his life in, and he's trying to fulfill his mission, his internal reason for his descent is he wants this love. He wants this love. God wants to experience the love of his topmost devotee, Sri Radha, at the height of his love. So he's actually there. He's practicing. He's doing it. And we're brought right there. And he's with his confidential associates, Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy. And how is he doing it? He's absorbing himself in the holy name. And absorption in the holy name means to feel the holy name, which means to feel our relationship with Krishna. And his chanting is becoming more and more absorbed, and he's feeling that. And it's a very emotional thing because his love is in that relationship. And when he has his feelings of separation become too intense, then Sarup Damodar begins to sing songs of Radha and Krishna meeting. And Ramananda Roy begins to tell katha, begins to tell the stories of Radha and Krishna meeting. And then Lord Chaitanya is completely into it. And then when the mood of separation seems to manifest, to keep that love flowing, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj, my illustrious godbrother, gave the example, maybe he got it from someplace else, that prema is like a river, and a river flows most forcefully when it has two embankments. So the river of prema flows forcefully when it has two embankments, the embankment of union and the embankment of separation. Then they begin to sing songs of separation and stories of separation. In this way, they're assisting him in keeping that prema or that flow or that love at its height. But who is there? Who is the assistant of Swarup Damodar? It's Raghunath Das Goswami. So the story is actually about him, but it begins with his attainment. He attained the most confidential association of assisting Swarup Damodar in helping God fulfill the internal reason for his descent. So then the story of Raghunath Das when he's young, and he's born into the richest family in West Bengal. His family is so wealthy that to protect the Vaishyas, to protect the Vaishnavas under the Mughal rule, they make a deal with the Nawab Hussein Shah that give us one district where the Vaishnavas can worship freely, and I will buy the district and I will pay rent for it. So there was a deal that was made. So this is who Raghunath Das Goswami's parents were. So he had the best parents, the best material situation, but he had a higher taste than a material situation. He really wanted the association of Chaitanya because his parents, all the Vaishnavas would come, and when the Vaishnavas would come to his parents' house because they were supporting all the Vaishnavas, the news would come. It wasn't this internet. It would come personally like this. And they would hear it from people personally with their, you know where Lord Chaitanya is now? You know what he's doing? You heard about this. You heard about Prakasananda Saraswati. You heard about Jarakanda Forest. You heard, and he's hearing it. And that's increasing his desire. You know, one thing that I often tell people that come to me for some counsel or shelter, whatever you call it, is I like to push them back. I'll explain this. We'll get back to that. Is before people, young people, could actually make a decision what they to do with their life, they should know what their level of spiritual evolution is. Some people are ready to dedicate themselves for, very rare, are ready to renounce everything for that type of life at an early age. It's very, very rare. It shouldn't be encouraged. We see through the history of the Krishna consciousness movement, it's not the way the world works, and it's becoming increasingly less so. You can go from any of the, there's no brahmachari ashrams practically, just a few. So Raghunath Das Goswami runs away from home and goes to Lord Chaitanya to give himself fully, to join his ashram, to join his entourage. And Lord Chaitanya very interestingly sends him home. And he sends him home for two important reasons. Renunciation must be tested, because if it's artificial, it will cause disaster. And two, Lord Chaitanya didn't want to set the example that's pervading in India that renunciation is for losers. That's what happens in India. It's so disgraceful. When people don't have anything, they can't achieve anything, they join an ashram and wear saffron, because saffron means sannyas. All of a sudden, they may not have any social status. And in one sense, you know, we're the heads of all other orders and things like that. So renunciation is not for losers, and it's not for people who have attachment. So Raghunath Das Goswami goes home, and then we see that there's a family dispute. His uncle is engaged in this payment of taxes, and it appears that He doesn't pay. In business, this happens all the time, that people see things through their own desire. There's disputes of money, and he gets arrested. And then we see that Raghunath Das, it was so expert that he was able to go speak to the Muslim magistrate as just a young boy in a very psychologically subtle way to influence his heart and also make very sound managerial conceptions, and he gets his uncle free. And what's this all about? Lord Chaitanya said, you go home and act like an ordinary pounds, shillings, and pence man. Well, what's this all about? It's to show this point that when Raghunath Das Goswami renounces the world, it's not because he can't succeed in the world. It's because he's detached from the world. And so he's at home and he's completely miserable. And he starts to berate his parents. You say you love me, why won't you let me join the ashram? Why won't you let me join the movement? You say you love me. And he's always trying to escape, but his father and uncle have so many resources that there's always, always guards guarding him. There's no way for him to get away. And then his mother still becomes a little bit concerned and says, why don't you just chain him up? Let's chain him. We got to chain him. The mother's so emotionally distressed. It's just too much for me. Any moment he's trying to escape, he's trying to get away, and I'm just so worried that he'll leave. And father said, we have chained him with wealth equal to the goddess of fortune and a young wife, equal to the king of heaven, Indra, and a beautiful wife equal to the goddess of fortune. If those chains don't work, let's not have our hopes up. Of course, again, we have to understand that this person met the test. This was who he was. A lot of times we're born in karmic situations, and the karma kind of wears out, and then we realize, oh, this is who I am. It's not ordinary, and that should be encouraged. I know I had one Indian friend who was a great scholar and sadhu, about 20 years older than me. And he was a champion athlete in the state of Bihar. He went on to become a very, very big guru. So he told me he had two daughters. But when one of Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples came to his village, he realized his spiritual potential in this life. It's not being encouraged at all, unless you're that rare soul. And he just so much, he was losing interest in everything because he realized that this is actually who he was. Yoginam, Suchinam Shremitam Gehe, Yoga Brashta Bajayate, in a previous life, he was a high yogi, and now he's continuing. He had a little karma. And he's so frustrated. And then he was a police chief, and some important paper was missing, and the district, the IPS, the Indian police chief, whatever it is, he was of that area of that town, but this was coming, and everyone is in trouble. You better find that paper. He said, I'm just going to chant Hare Krishna. And he just began to chant. And then somehow with his left hand, he was looking for something in his drawer. And there was that piece of paper. That night, he put pillows. He put pillows in his bed and left in the middle of the night. Somehow his uncle found him. He had to go back, but then he left again. But this is very, very rare. Because I've seen most people, Indians, especially that think of renunciation, it's when their life is so horrible that they just want to escape it. This was his life was so good, he wanted to escape it. Like the gopis, they had to transcend their good karma. They were chaste, respected wives with good husbands and families. To come to Krishna, they had to overcome their good karma. So Raghunath Das was so depressed, youth. And then he heard that Lord Nityananda was coming, and he just said, look, Father, it's not so far away. It's only in Panihati. Please let me go to see Lord Nityananda. His father said, okay, it's not that far, and I'm going to send 20 men with you so that you don't get any crazy ideas. So he arrives in Panihati, and Lord Nityananda is sitting under a banyan tree. He's sitting under a banyan tree. And there's that famous song. Bahu koti chanda jini vadana ujvala kala deshe vanamala. He's sitting at like a thousand moons. But Raghunath Das is very, very hesitant. Very, very hesitant to come in because he's actually very humble and shy by nature. He doesn't have that abhiman, that self-conception, I am the son of the richest. That's not his viewpoint. His viewpoint has become what is great is not what you have, it's not what you have externally, but what you have in your heart. That was his conception. So he didn't think, I am better than everyone or better than anyone. He was such a beautiful person. But everyone else said, oh my God, there is Raghunath Das Goswami. Look, there is Raghunath Das Goswami. There is Raghunath Das Goswami. And Lord Nityananda looks up and sees this young boy. And obviously he's famous. Is the son of Haranya and Govardhan Majumdara, who have this whole district for the Vaishnavas. And Lord Chaitanya sees him in the distance and says, you are a thief. Come here, I will punish you. I told this, I gave a lecture yesterday outside. But there's this wonderful scholar that was in Vrindavan that started the Harinam Press, who migrated from Punjab in Pakistan during the partition. And he dedicated himself to translating all the Goswami literatures into Hindi. But somehow or other, towards the end of his life, one or two Western people became connected with him, and they got one book, a small book, translated in English, about the six Goswamis. Very short. I got a few copies of that book. I've never seen such deep realizations. I could see why he was a famous scholar now that I could read one of his books in English. A very humble guy. And he described that, why was he called a thief? Lord Nityananda was calling him a thief. And this is the essence of the story. Because God is in the heart of his devotee. It's the property of his devotee. And therefore, if you want God, you have to first go to the devotee. But here he was going directly. So Lord Nityananda is representing Guru. He's saying, it's my property. Lord Chaitanya is my property. And you try to steal it without asking permission. You're a thief. And then I will punish you. And this is just so sweet. If you really want to talk affectionately, it's poetic, it's indirect. So nice, you're a thief, I will punish you. How sweet. Because he's so rich, he said that you have to feed all the people, Vaishnavas, and hold a big festival of Chiradahi, which is very easy because all you need is milk and yogurt and flat rice. And the way you make the preparation is you just soak it. You don't have to cook. And That's why sadhus, when they travel, they just keep a bag of flat rice when they go by train. All they do is they need just water. So, and then you can mix it with different fruits. So he started to buy up everything. And the shopkeepers came from all over with their little push carts, and he was buying it because he's so wealthy. And it became so crowded, that even people had to stand in the river. And then Lord Chaitanya manifested. Others couldn't see, but he manifested there. And then there was one platform for the respected guest, and I always love this point. It was for Swajatiya Lok and Barabara Lok. Swajatiya means the intimate associates, and Barabara, the big people in society. The big people in society are also respected. They're not put at the end of the line, even if they're not devotees. The king represents God. That's the way it was. So, and then, so I thought this is such a nice pastime because it's revealing to us how you destroy obstacles in devotional service by feeding and by serving the Vaishnavas. This is what the story is teaching us, by serving the Vaishnavas. So he goes back and he's in the compound of the family and there's so many guards and he kind of is up. It's a little bit late, but maybe he got up to chant. You know, you have to understand, when he was a young boy, who would he go sit with every morning? Haridas Thakur was chanting in that village. He was hearing the pure name of Haridas Thakur. I mean, his faith, his trust in devotion was so powerful. Like the river to the sea. The river to the sea cannot be stopped by any obstacle. It's too powerful. And that's a level of bhakti he had. There's nothing that could stop it. And his guru, Yadanandan Acharya, great Acharya, his guru, his initiating guru, comes and he says, well, so where are you going, Gurudev? He said, you know, the Bajari forgot to wake up to do this service. He said, don't worry, I will go get him. And then Raghunath Das Goswami, his guru, he's walking with his guru. He said, no, you go back. And then Raghunath Goswami left. He left and went through the forest. And his service was to be a renunciate in devotion, which means so absorbed in the taste of chanting the holy name and hearing the pastimes of Krishna that one even forgets about eating. That becomes one's priority, one's consciousness. I was just thinking when I got in that car, now I was all of a sudden thinking, oh my God, it's the mode of passion. What's this going to do for my consciousness? I got to protect my consciousness. Because we want to be absorbed in our meditation. Anyway, it's a wonderful story. What I'm going to do now gradually is have programs, but not big programs, just for different sections. So I kind of had a program for South Jersey yesterday, and we'll have one for North Jersey and New York. Maybe I'll speak to some, maybe Jai Kishori in the week or the week afterwards. We controlled the numbers, but it was nice to see Charuchandra, incredible soul, really incredible soul. Nice to see him there. And Kalpa Vriksha, so nice to see him there. Just a few people, few intimate people. And then the next week or the week after, I'll speak to Jai Kishori. We'll see if how many people they're allowing to congregate, and you know, that was nice. Okay, anybody like to share any kind of uh, realization they had, reflection.
Well, there's one. Sorry.
Gail?
When you were saying about the fact that Raghunath Das Goswami was not a loser, you know, he exhibited his qualifications, his expertise. It just reminded me of Arjuna too, you know, that he wanted to renounce, but it's not because he too was not, you know, an unqualified person.
That's a nice point.
I was
too.
Just reminded of Arjuna when you were discussing.
Right. And the interesting thing is, it's not that he had to go back in that way, why Krishna was sending him back, but Krishna wanted to use the example through him that spiritual life is not the activity, it's the consciousness. And that consciousness can be best served through our nature. So Raghunath Das Goswami's nature was a renunciant, Arjuna's wasn't. It doesn't mean he was less of a devotee, but that's the example, that spiritual life is our consciousness, not the activity, not the ashram, actually, and not the varna. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hey, Krishna Premier.
Hare Krishna. Well, I'd like to share how we had our Panihatichidahadi festival in Mayapur. Actually, being in China, we had never had this kind of festival. So this is the first time we had the festival, and especially in Mayapur. And we have a devotee boy. Actually, he grew up in the Gurukul. So since 13 years old. So he made four different types of this chida dahi with four different flavors, like the bananas, the mangoes, and also the jackfruit even.
Ooh.
And the other one is the original flavor. So he spent one day, whole night, I mean, making all these different types of chida dahi, and he invited all the Chinese devotees there. And this is after the lockdown, so we this actually almost the first time we met with each other. So
how many people?
About 8 to 10.
Only
not many, but not many.
Was that Tamal?
Gopesh.
Okay, somebody else. Okay.
Chinese devotee. Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Okay, when we used to have our Panihati, we had one cook called Brajajana, and he was an amazing cook. Wow. We used to make also like pizza type chiradani, and then of course mango. And we used to go to the garden store and buy little clay pots that were used for plants, so that we could actually have them in clay pots. It was famous.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's so nice, Krishna Premi. That's great.
Yeah. I just want to say that I really felt this deep Vaishnava culture in this festival, and it's so, so special. Yeah. And then Radha Charan Prabhu talked a little bit about the festival, and we had the kirtan. We have a few young couples there, so everyone had a wonderful time. And I really feel this Krishna consciousness so special. You know, through a beautiful festival, you learn so much, and you could feel this as what you said, the Vaishnava Seva. It's really very touching and softening the heart. Yes.
Wow, that's such a nice contribution. And it's such a mercy that you've been stuck there in Mayapur.
Yes, right.
But yeah, now you go ahead.
It's raining today, so it's not that hot. Yes. Very merciful, Mahaprabhu.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Krishna Premi.
Okay.
Anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Brahmatirtha. I really like the stories in which we get into the what's going on in Mahaprabhu's pastimes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Right,
well. Wow.
Maharaj, the clay pot.
Oh, wait. That was from my original Panihati festival.
Yeah, this is a souvenir. I'm still keeping it as a sacred object.
Well, I have to say, now I remember, Kirtilita's mother, who's a potter, used to make them for our festival. So those were original made ones for our festival. Henry, let's see that again.
There's the bottom.
Wow. Yeah, that brings up such great memories. That's amazing. Wow. Thanks, Henry. Wow. Only you. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
We were initiated on Panihati in Laguna Beach, so it's a very special festival for us, too.
Wow, huh? Great. Wow. Nice to hear from both of you. Great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Namasaki, Haribo.
Haribo, Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for your great class. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on it. Great. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
I think.
Hare Krishna.
Who's that? Haribo? Rajeshwari Seva?
Oh, yes. Oh, I thought someone else was speaking. Hare Krishna Maharaj, is Rajeshwari Seva. Thank you very much for the wonderful class. And I have one question, if that's all right.
Okay.
You mentioned about, you know, about the advancement in spiritual life, that it's a pure goodness and it's only the desire to serve. I was wondering how to actually achieve that that mood of service without wanting anything for ourselves with it, because that egoism is always kind of for myself,
right,
creeping in quite subtly. So how to serve others for them, how to love others and Krishna for them, not for myself.
Thank you. This is where it comes in that we have guru. So we surrender fully, right? And then we're engaged. And therefore even, and that accommodates the ego and desires that we need to keep, to keep the body and mind together. So at the same time we're being selfless and surrendered, at the same time we're able to keep the things that we need that are born of the ego, our nature, but they became purified because we made that decision that I want to do what God's will is. So God's will is very beautiful. It doesn't want us to destroy ourselves by giving up. You know, it's not like, oh, now that I become a pure devotee, I shouldn't love my children, you know, or, you know, now I'm a pure devotee and I should give up my art, or I should give up my dance, or I should give up my desire, you know. No, but it becomes purified in that way. But at the same time, as we serve on that platform, the heart becomes more and more purified naturally and organically until we come to the platform where the real thing that's driving us totally is the liking for service. Does that help? Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi, Bo. Good.
Hare Krishna.
Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Jai Kishori, I'm going to call you in the afternoon. We have to see if we can fulfill your long-standing desire. Have a program
as of Memorial Day. I think they were allowing 10 people, but we'll see.
Well, legal, if it's 10 people, then it'll be 10 people.
But we're in phase one, and maybe phase two is something different in a couple of weeks. We'll see.
Okay.
Reopening phases.
We'll figure it out. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for the wonderful class.
Oh, how come I don't see people now? Okay, that's Tiffany, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good. Anybody
Hare Krishna
else?
Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Oh, Nityangi, Haribo.
Thank you so much.
Great to see you.
Wow. Haribol.
Haribo.
Maharaj, I've been organizing this Churadhari festival since long time. I hope one day I'll be able to free from my material desires also. Please bless me.
Great to see you, Raghunath.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Eugenio and Gloria.
Oh, you're increasing my separation for Colombia. I really hope I can get there by the end of the year. I don't know what the plan is. Do they know when they're opening up internationally? It's not announced yet? No.
Okay. Not yet. No.
Okay. Okay.
Nice to see you. Thank you for the class.
Okay, great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Vlal Govinda.
Okay, okay, great.
Thank you so much for class.
Okay, thank you both.
Thank great. You.
No cool. respect, no respect. Okay, that's a private joke. Okay, anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota
Gopinath.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Malati. Tota Gopinath, Malati. Hi, Bo. Good, good to see you. Okay. Hi, Bo. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Don Kaylee.
Hi, Bo. I spoke with Kaylee. I should be getting up there around July sometime.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, I wanted to say one of my first festivals that I ever attended was the Panihati in 2001.
That was a big one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was wonderful. Yep.
Where was that? At
Giri Govardhan's, I believe.
Yeah, same, at Don Mohan's.
Okay. Millbrook, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Hi, Bo.
Hi, Bo.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharvika.
Hi, Hare Bo. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sudama.
Sudama, great to see you. Hare Bo.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay. One more person, and then I will go to the next activity. And if anybody's around at 11 o'clock, I'll continue.
I'm just showing the glazed version of one of those bowls, Maharaj.
Wow, hey.
Ravels, when you had it at the Ravels. Well, here's two of them.
Well, bring them up to the camera, the low.
This is inside. This was the only Panihati festival where they were glazed.
Okay, well, that was a special Panihati festival.
Yes, green and blue.
Wow. Great, great. Okay. Okay. All right, I'm going to head out now. Anybody's around 11 o'clock, we'll do Krishna Leela. Haribol.